We'll open tonight with Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and starting in verse 21 and reading through verse 24. And the Bible reads, "And that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." In Mark chapter 5, we find the account of the man from Gadarenes. And he had been possessed by an unclean spirit. And after Jesus had cleansed him, the man prayed that Jesus would allow him to come with him. Jesus denied his request. And he told him to go home and go to his friends and tell them the wonderful things that the Lord had done for him and what compassion was showed to him in his healing. You see, what we find here is something more than just the miracle. In this account, Jesus reveals that the greatest service offered to his cause is the service of the testimony of a transformed life. In Christianity, this is the only unanswerable argument. Every doctrine, every tenet of faith can be denied. And even Satan knows that it is foolish to argue against a righteous life. The essential factor in living for Christ is the transformation of our lives. A very familiar passage to many, I quote it a lot of times because it means so much, is Romans 12 and the first two verses, where Paul writes, "I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Think back to your lives. If you didn't grow up in the Lord's church, think about who you were before. Has it changed? Was it a drastic change? Do you act differently today than you once did? In Philippians chapter 3, in verses 7 through 9, we find Paul's transformation, where he writes here, "But whatever gain I had, I counted it as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And for his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." That is what a transformation of life is. Most Christians agree that this transformation takes place when Christ lives within. But the question becomes, when and how does Christ enter into a man? In Colossians chapter 1, Paul is speaking to the church there in Colossae. In verses 27 and 28, he said, "To them who God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, him we preach, warning everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ." How he enters in is found in Galatians 3, verse 27. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. The very simple answer is that Jesus enters any who have obeyed that form of doctrine that puts one into Christ. And by that, we walk in the newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 reminds us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. You know, you look around at our friends, maybe some of our family from the denominations, and there are a lot of ideas out there that seem and sound good. And that they're very easy to do. But what you end up with is a whitewashing that only spruces up the exterior. It does not get rid of the decay from within. You know, it's been a number of years ago, we had one that had visited with us a few times, and on the way out, that individual asked how much it cost to join the church. When I told her it didn't cost anything but herself, she was shocked. I think that what scares many people away because it means a sacrifice, something that they have to give up in order to be in Christ. That's probably what makes the Lord's church so difficult to attract others, the sacrifice that's involved. Yes, it would be easy if we could gain to heaven just by paying a few dollars. It would be easy to gain heaven if all we have to do is occupy a pew every once in a while. But that's not what the Lord requires for us. Getting rid of the rotten decay in our lives is what saves us. But it requires a sacrifice on our part. Christ dwelling in us has its direct correlation to the measure of his word that is obeyed and accepted. In Colossians 3 and verse 16, we are instructed to let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Have you ever thought about the study of Christ as eating, feasting on his words in the Bible? When we feast on those words, we share in Christ's nature. We tell our kids when they're growing up to eat your vegetables and drink your milk so you grow up big and strong. Friends, we don't become those strong, faithful Christians without feasting on the nourishment of God's word. Philippians 2 and verse 5 reminds us to have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Our spiritual likeness can only come about by seeing Christ as he is revealed in the scriptures. If we are to mirror Christ, then we have to learn everything we can about him. We don't know what Jesus would do unless we are with him each and every day. Our transformation results when the spiritual man is enlightened. In John 8 and verse 12, Jesus made this promise. He said, I am the light in the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We are to be, as Philippians 2 and verse 15 reminds us. Be blameless and innocent, the children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You know, it's ironic, don't you think, that when Paul wrote this, he can call the world a crooked and twisted generation? It seems like every generation lives in a crooked and twisted generation, and we're no different today. But friends, it is through the reception of the Word of God that we are illuminated. And when we are illuminated, we become the light. What changed in you when you were baptized? Did anything change? Did you feel the same way as you always did, except that you were wet? Hopefully, your objectives changed. The old man within us centers on temporal things, the things that we can touch and taste and see. The temporal man places a lot of emphasis on these things, places more emphasis on making more money and spending more leisure time, thinking about me and me and me. If our transformation is real, our focus changes from the me to the image of Christ in heaven. Hebrews 12 and verse 2 says, looking to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And then Paul in Colossians 1 and verses 1 through 3, where he writes, if then you have been risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Friends, do our goals in life show this change? If it doesn't, there needs to be more changes made within our lives. We only have to look at Paul's transformation to see just what should take place. And I like his description the best in Galatians 2 and verse 20. There's a song that we sing with these verses, and it's one of my favorites. It's one of the ones that I memorized first because of that song. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but Christ that lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Go back in the book of Acts sometime this week and follow Paul's missionary journeys, all three of them. And look at the transformation that he made with every step. Look at how he dealt with the hardships and the trials and the tribulation. And everything that Paul went through, Christ shined through. And even the last time that Paul was heading back to Jerusalem and the brethren were telling him, don't go, don't go, don't go, Paul went. That final trip ended up sending him to Rome, where he never left. But it didn't matter to Paul, because even in Rome, he still shined. And Christ still shined through him. Friends, that is exactly the way our life should be. Now, I'm not telling you to go on out there and get yourself stoned. Don't go out there and get yourself shipwrecked or beaten with rods or with the whip. But don't be afraid of the world. Be transformed and let the world see you who you are, a child of God. That Christ should be reflected as we walk before men. There's no greater sermon can be preached to anyone than our transformation that glorifies God in all that we do. Your friends will see it. For a while, your friends may mock you for it, but eventually they will see the sincerity of it all. And you never know, as Ken said this morning, the actions that you take, what impact they may have. Maybe not today, maybe not next week or even next year, but farther down the road, it will be realized. There is no greater epitaph to be put on a stone then he or she was a child of God and lived with honor. If there is anyone here this morning who is in need of the invitation, we want to give you that opportunity this evening. If anyone has a need, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.